Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Prince Pipes and Fittings Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Seema. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you to the call with the management of Prince Pipes and Fittings Limited. The management is being represented by Mr. Parag Chheda, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Nihar Chheda, Vice President Strategy, Mr. Anand Gupta, CFO, and Mr. Karl Gohla, Head Investor Relations. I will straight away hand over the call to Mr. Parag Chheda for his opening remarks. Yes, sir. Over to you.
Thanks, Pranav. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for our Quarter 2 and H1 FY24 earnings call. The presentation and the press release have been issued to the stock exchanges and uploaded on our website. I hope everyone has been able to go through the same. Our performance this quarter has been good, driven by higher sales volume in the plumbing segment. Finished goods sales volume for the quarter increased by 8% year-on-year to 41,529 metric tons, and overall revenues grew by 3% year-on-year to rupees 656 crores. The correction in PVC prices in early October did lead to some destocking and deferment of volumes in September, but the prices have now stabilized with a slight uptick leading to restocking and supporting volume growth during Quarter 3. Improving product mix, rigorous input cost control, efficient marketing strategy, and good volume growth have translated into margins rebounding to normalized levels in Quarter 2. I'm glad to share that this was the maiden quarter of the bathware segment, and we have received a very encouraging response from dealers and end customers. Let me share some highlights of our Prince bathware segment post its launch in June 2023. I'm happy to share that our products have been well received in the market, gaining positive sales traction and encouraging feedback. We continue to build a robust distributor base in northern and western India with brand launches in Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets like Srinagar, Jaipur, and Varanasi. We plan to launch bathware in eastern India by Quarter 4 FY24. We have also started participating at exhibitions and events which have drawn a very good response. I'm glad to share that we have already undertook our first project in Mumbai, where our products have already been installed for the first phase of the project. As our tanks business scales up, we will continue to leverage our multi-location manufacturing presence to scale this segment. In the next couple of months, we would set up manufacturing in Haridwar and Chennai, taking it to five of the seven in-house locations. With these efforts, we plan to establish a strong presence in all segments, including pipes and fittings, water tanks, and bathware. Just to give you an update on our Bihar facility, the implementation is going on as per our plan. The layout has been finalized, and the work will start post-Diwali as we commence construction at our latest integrated manufacturing facility at Begusarai in Bihar. As we grow, we are investing in building a strong frontline of our team in accounts, finance, and HR to to implement progressive strategies to help us achieve our long-term vision. I take this opportunity to welcome Anand and Ajay as we work together towards fortifying our industry leadership position. Anand is a qualified CA with over 20 years of experience in finance, commercial planning, and efficient management of stakeholders, people, performance, risk, and opportunities. Prior to Prince, he was associated with ACC Limited for 14 years in different roles and responsibilities. In addition, I welcome Ajay Kumar, our new Chief HR Officer, who brings comprehensive experience of 23-plus years in developing and executing strategic human resource policies. He has extensive exposure to large corporates with multiple manufacturing units spread across geographies in India and overseas. On an overall basis, several strategic efforts have been undertaken over the past few months, and we will bear the fruits from them as we progress ahead. Prince Pipes remain active, agile, and growth-hungry to ramp up market expansion efforts. The long-term industry fundamentals remain strong. The real estate sector continues to remain buoyant, especially reporting good sales in the mid and premium category. In fact, realtors expect record sales this year, and unsold inventory is at a decadal low, which augurs well for all building material consumption over the next 2 to 3 years. Property developers expect home sales to post a new high at more than 500,000 units in the top 7 Indian cities this year amid strong demand and big launches planned by many eminent large developers. Several prominent launches for residential real estate are lined up for this festive season, as sales numbers are expected to touch unprecedented levels. We are closely monitoring every aspect of industry momentum and are excited about the untapped potential. With several steps in the right direction, as we focus on market penetration and expansion of pan-India footprint, we expect continued growth in the second half of the fiscal as we move ahead with an even greater commitment to transform and strengthen India's water infrastructure. Thank you for your time and mindshare. I will now hand it over to Anand to take you through the key financial highlights.
Thank you, Parag Bhai, for the warm welcome, and good morning, friends. I'll be taking you through the quarterly highlights. In this quarter, revenues for the quarter improved by 3% year-on-year to rupees 656 crores. Our finished goods volume grew by 8% year-on-year at 41,529 metric ton. We delivered a healthy operating performance with EBITDA at rupees 94 crores for the quarter, resulting to margin of 14.3% for the quarter. A&P spend increased by 7% over the previous fiscal period and is at rupees 15 crores. Further, our finance cost reduced by around 50% due to improvement in cost of short-term borrowing. Let me highlight the exceptional item for the quarter and first half. The legal matter between Prince Pipes, Ruby Mills Limited and Mindset Estates Private Limited has been amicably resolved, and the corporate office situated at the Ruby Dadar, Mumbai has now been registered in the name of the company. Based on the valuation report, the property was revalued and there is a net gain of rupees 17.93 crores towards the settlement, which is included in exceptional item for the quarter and first half. It is important to note that despite the exceptional gain, margin performance has been healthy. We continue to judiciously expand our channel finance program. We have made steady progress since the recourse has shifted to distributors and have increased the credit limits of our channel partners from 105 crores in Q1 FY24 to rupees 126 crores in Q2 of FY24. Commenting on the working capital for the quarter, our inventory is stable at 62 days, while our creditors is at 59 days, and debtor currently are at 63 days. We acknowledge that there is a large scope for improvement in the debtor days, and we are continuously working towards the same. With this, we would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity, and best wishes to Anand for his additional responsibility. So my first question was essentially on the trade. You obviously mentioned that October has been stabilized. We had some initial hiccups. Any thoughts on the second half outlook? Any known positive or negative surprises that could lead to volatility into PVC, either the pricing or the demand piece?
So if I understand the question, you're trying to understand the demand outlook?
Yes, and any known positive or negatives which could lead to volatility in terms of performance?
So I think you're on. Let me start from the raw material on PVC. You know, I think we are well poised as an industry. I think it's an extremely low-cost polymer today, and I think at least for the next couple of quarters, we foresee a very low level of volatility both upwards and downwards. I think PVC will be extremely range-bound, which is going to create an extremely growth-conducive environment because of affordability and also more certainty in pricing will always help the channel to avoid any heavy destocking or restocking. So I think it is going to be a more growth-conducive environment with a more certainty and a better visibility of growth. And as far as the end market is concerned, you know, I think real estate is doing well, infrastructure is doing well. So there are positives on both sides, and from the medium to long-term perspective as well, we are, you know, confident and certain of the growth.
Got it. Secondly, you know, one of the larger peers into pipes is acquired a facility which makes OPVC pipes. What I understand is the margins are decent and the demand is, looks like sustainable over the next 3 to 5 years, given the drinking water problem in the country. Any thoughts on the product and your company's interest in doing this?
So we have been evaluating this product. It's a capital-intensive line to be in. And, you know, there is no application apart from infrastructure. It's purely going to be an infrastructure and an institutional sort of game, which traditionally we have stayed away from as an organization because of the credit cycles. But as the government's focus on infrastructure is improving, we have seen better credit cycles in the infrastructure and institutional business. So we will keep exploring any new opportunities like OPVC. A couple of the new products that we have introduced within piping, like PP, low-noise pipes, as well as polypropylene surface drainage product, I think we have seen very strong acceptance for these new technologies. Of course, sales numbers do take time whenever you introduce such kind of technologies because, you know, we are the first mover in these kind of products where we have to generate demand, do the concept selling, But in this quarter itself, for both the products, we have already received our first project orders for PP Lonoise as well as for Horaton, which has already been installed. So now with our modern plumbing vertical, we will always be sort of on the lookout for these kind of technologies, OPVC being one of them. But I would prefer to focus more on the on products that have acceptance in retail projects as well as infrastructure, rather than having products which are focused only on infrastructure and institution.
Got it. And last one small question was, when can you expect to see Bathware financials separately?
From December quarter.
Okay, perfect. So wish you all a very happy festive season. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, this is Devansh Nigotia from Safe Enterprises. So if we, you know, compare our volumes with the peers, it has been relatively tepid. And also the base quarter was a weak quarter for us. So any thoughts if you can share why, you know, the volume performance has not been very robust?
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Devansh. I think it's an important question to address. And we want to sort of answer this question with as much transparency as possible, because, you know, regardless of whether the performance is good or bad, I would like to, you know, not shy away from the performance. So, yes, I accept that the volume growth in this quarter and past couple of quarters has not been at par with industry. And at Prince, we have we are used to industry-leading growth. What I can share is that there is no you know, one or two peculiar reasons for this. We continue to be focused on distribution, adding new products, investing in branding, focus on entering into the project segment. So the fundamentals do not change, and we continue to focus on the fundamentals, and our entire effort and mindshare of the professional team as well as the family is on that. I think, you know, couple of places we feel that a segment like HDP, we have maybe been laggards with investing in capacity, and those capacity investments have been made in the September quarter, which would start reflecting in the operational performance in terms of volumes from the March quarter, specifically for HDP. And there has been some corrective actions that we have taken on pricing, where we felt that the largest player has been more aggressive in pricing in certain markets. So we have tried to close down those pricing gaps, and certain more corrections that we have done in the past couple of months as well. So I am confident from a medium term perspective that, you know, we should be, if not industry leading, at least in line with peers in terms of volume growth.
And in case of Bathware segment, now that it has commenced, what is the you know, fixed cost which will be there in the P&L in terms of expected losses that we are expecting?
So the cost regarding to Bathware will be primarily on two aspects. One is the employee cost, and the other the branding cost, which we'll be incurring in a P&L. So that these are the two costs which will sit in P&L.
So any expected loss contribution we're expecting this year? Or let's say for this quarter, how much would have been the contribution?
So right now, you can see that around 3 to 4 crores is the branding cost in this quarter, and around 1.5 crores is the employee cost that is sitting in the P&L, which you can factor for pipes and bathware separately.
Okay, and the revenues for bathware?
So
So revenues, like I said for the earlier question, we'll start reporting from December quarter, because in September quarter we had just started a rollout. So it's just the initial sales that have gone. So I think in the next 3 months the focus will be on setting up distribution. And from December quarter we would share the segmental revenues for bathware as well. So we would be targeting 8 crores of sales for bathware in the December quarter.
Just last question. How much is the contribution of infra pipes as a percentage of volume this quarter?
Allow me to, you know, Carl will get in touch with you after the call to share the specifics. I will not have that.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, Nir. I have a question slightly on the, you know, slightly longer side. What's your opinion on these composite pipes, which is basically polymer, aluminum polymer or polymer, steel polymer as an option, where polymer, aluminum polymer has evolved in, has done some business in India. And can they be, can they make CPVC, you know, eventually a redundant pipe eventually? Because it's quite unique that it's India where PVC-based piping solutions are prominent, but globally it's a different polymer and then there are these composite pipes.
So globally, if you speak, there is, one is composite, which is still not a very large market globally. There you have PPR, which is globally well accepted, in which we are market leaders in India, and we are seeing an acceptance of PPR growing apart from its usual base. It's still very small. But yes, developers today are looking for options outside of CPVC as well, as they are trying to upgrade their homes. I think average Indian consumer today, as disposable incomes increase, I think there is, end user also is becoming more product conscious, more brand conscious for a product which is behind the wall. So I don't think it's specifically about composite pipes or not. It's about what alternate or what next after CPVC. If that's the question, I think CPVC will continue to have the lion's share of the market even on a 5 to 10 year horizon, because of the ease of application as well as the cost structure. However, you will see certain niche polymers like PPR or composite pipes coming in, but I don't foresee it being more than 3 to 5% of the overall, you know, CPVC market. So we will invest in those kind of products because that helps us build a very strong brand identity and a first mover advantage. So the way we have done for PP low noise, where we are upgrading SWR drainage systems from PVC to PP. Similarly, we will upgrade water supply systems as well. But I don't foresee it to be a very large volume or top line driver.
So you mean to say that PPR plus composites will just be 5% of the market eventually?
Yeah.
Or individually 5%, 5% PPR, 5% composite.
No, I think put together around 5% is what I see.
And does your existing infrastructure and machinery, which makes the CPVC pipes, can make the PPR pipe, or you need a completely different manufacturing setup?
It's completely different. It's a completely different setup, but we have been in PPR for you know, multiple decades now, so we have capacity. We process you know, more than 400-500 tons every month of PPR, and we have been in this industry as market leaders since a couple of decades now. So we, that entire capacity for pipes and fittings of PPR we possess, and as and when the demand supply permits us, we will be adding capacity as required.
And any specific comment on TSP, where when you put steel in between the two layers of polymer, One, the pricing also becomes competitive because steel is 50, 60 rupees a kg versus polymer at 80 to 100. So you get the strength of a steel and a life of a polymer, which can compete straight away with CPVC. Any specific comments there, or it's too early for you?
As a product, it's in a nascent stage, but as a market leader, it's very important for us to be ahead of the curve with these kind of technologies. So as far as cost structure is concerned, I think with composite pipes, the cost structure becomes, 2 to 3 times per bathroom. And the builder, the way he looks at piping cost is on a per bathroom basis. So if you replace CPVC with composite, I think the cost per bathroom will not increase from a percentage point of view, but it will increase 2 to 3 times. There is a market for it, but it's not going to become a commodity. Even in the long term, I see this as a niche where more applications would be in bungalows, villas, maybe hotels. But your traditional high-rise buildings will continue to be in PVC and CPVC.
Okay. Thank you very much. And just one question, I didn't get your answer. Why was your volume growth relatively lower than the industry for the last 2-3 quarters now?
Yeah, like I said, the fundamentals don't change. We continue to be aggressive on distribution, branding, entry into projects. So there's no one or two particular reasons. We don't want to shy away from the numbers. The numbers speak for themselves that we have been lagging industry growth. There is no one or two reasons for it. We are confident that we will be back to industry-leading growth, or at least in line with peers. One of the corrective actions that we have taken is investing in capacity in HDP, where we feel that we have been lagging. So that will be reflecting in our volumes from the fourth quarter. And certain pricing actions as well that we have taken in the current quarter, which should help us, realign our growth performance.
If pricing action means you are way off in terms of pricing vis-a-vis your peers in terms of premium or discount premium to peers. That's the thought, or?
Yeah, we feel that in certain markets we have, as a premiumization drive that we undertook 2 or 3 years ago, in certain markets maybe we have over premiumized, so we are correcting that to be aligned with our peers. So I don't want to put this all down to pricing. I think pricing is just one aspect, but we need to be sharper and more aggressive with this, and I'm confident that overall, apart from pricing, there's a lot of other factors apart from pricing that go into growth. This is not purely a commodity business, so I'm confident that in the next couple of quarters, our growth will come back to industry-leading growth.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitarth Kaparia from ValueQuest Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. My first question is, how has the CPVC performance been so far, and what percentage of volumes come from CPVC now?
So we share a revenue breakup, not a volume breakup. CPVC would be around 20 to 25% of revenue.
20 to 25%. Okay.
Of revenue.
Of revenue. And what is the outlook on the working capital days as of now?
So right now, debtors is at 63 days, we are using channel finance as a lever, as well as a credit policy we are reviewing wherever possible. We are trying to bring it down to around 50s in next 2 quarters, and then we see further downside is possible. And by next year, we see that mid-40s should be the sustainable time period.
Mid-40s by next year, okay. And any guidance on margins?
So just to clarify, mid-40s is the guidance for debtor days.
I got that.
Inventory and creditors will be a function of your procurement pattern, and you are seeing right now creditors reduce because we are depending more on local pine, which could be the trend for the next couple of months. As far as
local in terms of your resin?
Yeah. Local players like Reliance and Chemplast, yeah.
Okay, and what is the, and is there any guidance on margins that you would like to give?
I think we'll stick to 12 to 14% on a long-term basis.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to request to use your handsets while asking a question. We take the next question from the line of Akash Shah from UTI Mutual Funds. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hello. Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So I had a few questions. One was on CPVC, anti-dumping duty. So coming. So in FY in August or September. Hello.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, in August or September, the anti-dumping duty will get over. So, I mean, any thoughts whether it will get renewed or it may not come up for renewal?
I think it's tough to comment on, you know, these kind of things where the government is the decision maker. But I think with, there's two parts to it. As local capacities increase, definitely there's a better case for protecting the local capacities, the domestic manufacturers. And we are seeing domestic manufacturers increase capacity, as well as our partner Lucrezol is putting up capacity in Gujarat. So as the capacities locally increase, I think that builds an even stronger case for anti-dumping duty. Having said that, you know, the lower cost of CPVC, the lower the cost, the better the growth. So, you know, it's we can't really speculate on what will happen with the government, but if capacities increase, I think the case for duties will be even stronger.
Sure. Thank you. Then just coming to agri non-agri mix, if you can share what was the mix in this quarter and how was the growth on a YOY basis?
So, you know, I don't want to give too much on segmental growth because of competitive intensity, but what I can say is Q2 is usually not very heavy on agri. Agri typically, you know, the agri season is stronger in the March quarter as well as the June quarter. Typically, the September and December quarters are not as strong in agri because, as you know, agri is a seasonal business versus plumbing and SWR, which is more of a perennial uniform business. So most of the growth has been driven by the building material segment in the September quarter.
Sure. Coming to industrial pipes, so we had tie-up with Lubrizol and hello.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So we had tie-up with Lubrizol, and we had launched pipes for industrial application using Corzan technology. So any thoughts? I mean, anything that you can share on this front? I mean, how are we doing? Yeah.
Currently, so this is a segment which excites us because of the lower competitive intensity, higher barriers to entry in terms of access to technology and, you know, investing capital for a specific niche purpose. So, you know, today we see ourselves as someone who replaces conventional products like MS and RCC. And the way we have been able to create value in TWC, similarly, we want to do that with industrial CPVC as well. Currently, we are in the concept selling stage. So, you know, these kind of orders take an even higher gestation period than plumbing because a lot of concept selling has to be done. And when you have to replace metal with plastic, in India, unfortunately, that mental perception is still very high. So I think next couple of quarters at least we have to still invest into interacting with stakeholders, creating awareness about these kind of products and then working on specifications and then generating sales. So it's a long process, but we enjoy that process because eventually then that gives us a very strong first mover advantage and brand equity. And we have seen that entire cycle play out with DWC, where the first couple of years, you know, we were virtually working at, you know, very low capacity utilization. But we focused on concept selling, we focused on nurturing the market, and now, you know, DWC has become a very well accepted product, and Prince today is recognized as a market leader in this space. So similarly, we are wanting to play out that process for industrial CPVC, and the important thing is that this will not end at industrial CPVC. We will keep looking for newer opportunities, newer products. We are not in a hurry. You know, depth is more important than breadth. And whichever product we take, we will really give it a lot of mindshare and time and effort and investment in terms of people as well as branding as well as capacities.
Sure. Sir, if you can share what is the investment that we have done in this segment? I mean, have we invested in capacity?
Yeah, we have invested 8 to 10 crores.
Okay, sure. And over long term, this segment would remain a niche, or do you feel that this may contribute to a larger percentage of the top line?
So globally, this is very well accepted and has become more than just a niche, but these cycles take very long. It's not a question of 2 to 3 years. It's a question of 5 to 7 years before this becomes more than just a niche. But at least in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, we see a good level of concept selling that we can do.
Sure. And just last question, new applications of plastic pipes. So just wanted to check how are we doing on, let's say, fire related, I mean the pipes which are fire retardant. So any or let's say any other new application that you would like to highlight with respect to plastic pipes? Yeah.
So specifically, you know, we have entered into the low noise drainage and sewage systems with polypropylene, which is noise cancelling. Which you know, also has better impact resistance compared to PVC, and we have tied up with Ostendorf, which is a global market leader for polypropylene drainage from Germany. And similarly for surface drainage, we have partnered with Horaton for surface drainage products, where we will replace RCC surface drainage to PP surface drainage. These products are also made of 100% recycled polypropylene. You know, we are seeing today builders becoming more and more green conscious and looking out for these kind of products. So with these kind of products, you know, revenue is not the only metric that we need to see. We need to see the kind of brand equity that it helps us create, a first mover advantage, something unique that we are able to offer to the end user that our peers are not. And we need to, and in the long term, the gross margins are really exciting when we will start in-house manufacturing for both these products the way we have started in-house manufacturing for industrial CPVC as well. So in the long term, a lot of value can be created, especially at the gross margin level. And this will somewhere, you know, help us become more competitive in our core products as well. So that we can, that diversification within piping also helps us become more competitive in our core segments.
Sure. Thank you very much and all the best. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Arun Baid from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Neha. You mentioned that, you know, going forward, we would at least be industry standard kind of growth. So a lot of our peers are talking of at least 15% CAGR growth for the next 2-3 years. Are we trying to say that we'll match that number, if not more?
So I think we have to look forward. H1, of course, at least Q1 was majorly disrupted by ERP. So whatever I'm talking about is from December quarter onwards. We need to be in line with peers. So I want to be as transparent as possible and take this question head on. that yes, the volume growth has not been in line with peers in not only past quarter but past couple of quarters. Certain corrective actions that we have taken, which we have shared in the earlier answers. And you know, now the numbers need to talk rather than us guiding for any kind of growth. I think the actions have to speak louder than words, and we are used to that internally as an organization in terms of having the highest growth in the industry. So rather than you know, us talking, I think the numbers have to start talking, and we are confident that that is going to happen.
And just one thing, last quarter we had some issue with regards to fitting sales. Is that sorted out?
Yeah, that is normalized in the September quarter, and that's reflected in our
numbers.
Thanks
for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good margin improvement. So just starting with the first question itself, while you've answered the market share loss related question, just wanted to understand where is this margin growth coming from?
Yeah, one is our pipe fitting growth normalized. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, request you to go on mute. I think there's some disturbance. So the question was on the margin performance. So one is pipe fitting ratios normalized from the first quarter onwards, which led to a normalization in margins. Second, there was an inventory gain, but which was not material. It was less than 5 crores of inventory gain. But mainly it's the normalization of pipe fitting ratio, as well as the product mix in Q2 is always going to be higher from the building material segment. But overall, I will still stick to my guidance of 12 to 14% operating margin is sustainable in the long term.
But given that now your volumes in Q3 and Q4 are going to be even better, don't you think with operating leverage coming in, this is really a conservative guidance?
Yeah, but like I also said earlier in the call, that we have taken some pricing you know, action as well in certain segments. So whether that, you know, whether the operating leverage fully offsets that or partly offsets that is something to be seen. So I would much rather have 12 to 14% operating margin and you know, growth which is leading in the industry. So that's what we
understood.
Sorry to interrupt, Ms. Neha. Are you on a headset, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
May I request you to please switch to your handset?
Is this better?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Secondly, just wanted to understand from you, Neha, where are we in terms of our HDP at this point of time? What's the contribution from there and what's the outlook like? Are you now focusing more on that particular segment or you would still want to stay away given it's a low margin business and higher working capital requirements?
So one is we will participate in HDP only if the working capital is similar, because it doesn't make sense to stretch our balance sheet while we are tightening our balance sheet on the core portfolio. But we do see the value in participating in HDP. I don't mind if the margins are lower, but the credit cycles should be tight, which we are seeing as the government is increasing focus on infrastructure. I think more these programs are more funded and well capitalized. So there are certain investments that we have made in HDP. This has been one of the reasons that we have lagged industry growth. One of the reasons, not the only reason. And that investment has been done in the September quarter. And this will start reflecting in the volume performance from the March quarter, specifically from HDP.
So where are we? So today, currently, we would be hardly anything in this particular scheme of things as a percentage of our overall volumes or revenues.
Yeah, it would be less than 3% in terms of volume.
And with this new capacity coming up, what's the vision? Where does it go?
This should be closer to 7 to 8%.
Understood. And lastly, in case you can just let us know, what is the reason for working capital increase in this quarter?
Sneha, I have you cut out. So I think the question was on, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So I think the question was on the working capital increase. So majorly, you know, the payables has reduced because sourcing has been more focused on domestic, where it works on advance payment or a cash and carry payment, which has led to pressure on the payables. And this may continue for the next couple of months. And I think on the debtor side, Anand has already guided on our short-term and medium-term goals for debtors.
So the line for the current question is Neha is disconnected. We take the next question from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, team. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, you know, sorry, I joined the call a little late. If it is answered, if you could repeat once again. You know, in terms of the, you know, the capacities where we are, where competition is adding, you know, do you see an issue with the, you know, with respect to the geographical capacity footprint, you know, creating a disadvantage for competitive? And what kind of situation could that be, you know, with respect to the freight part of it?
Over years, we have added capacity in Jaipur, which helps us cater to the north and west, and Telangana in 21, which helps us cater to south and partly to the southeast markets like Chhattisgarh and Odisha as well. So we feel that the manufacturing footprint is actually our strength, and with our next greenfield project coming up in Bihar, which will cater to the entire eastern market. So with the kind of capacity addition we have done, not only in terms of numbers, but also in terms of the strategic location, I think we are well positioned for the future. And we will be, you know, adding capacities aggressively in Bihar after the first phase as well. And, you know, I can say on a long-term vision, 5 years from today, Bihar will be one of the largest manufacturing facilities for the organization. So that's how we see it.
Basically, Nihar, if I understand correctly, there is no disadvantage, you know, you see with respect to our manufacturing locations vis-a-vis the competition. Have I understood right?
Correct.
Okay. The second question I had was with respect to the CPVC segment. You know, we understand that the CPVC prices have kind of cooled off for the industry. Has that been the case with us as well? Or is there, and with respect to potentially the disadvantage what we had in terms of the cost earlier, has that gone up completely or is it still there?
Achal, can you repeat your question? There was some disturbance.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Achal, sir, are you on a headset? If you are on a headset, I would request you switch to your handset, sir.
Yeah. Is this better, ma'am? Is this better?
Yes, please go.
Okay. So the question is pertaining to CPVC segment. You know, A, we see that CPVC resin prices have come off in last few months. Is that the case with us for our source? And B, earlier we had some disadvantage with respect to the cost, CPVC sourcing cost. Has that normalized, or is there a still gap between us and the peers in terms of the sourcing cost?
So costs have come down. As PVC costs came down aggressively, CPVC was bound to come down because CPVC is a derivative of PVC at the end of the day. As a result of which, you have seen some destocking in the channel for CPVC as well. To answer the second part of your question, no, I don't think there is a further disadvantage. The kind of premium that we are paying to Lubrizol is similar. So, of course, the base changes, but the delta relative to the market continues to stay the same.
Thanks, okay. I'll come back in the queue for follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Udit Gajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Major questions have been answered. So just on volume front, if you can give any specific number, what kind of growth are you looking for 24, maybe this specific year, and of course medium term, do you stick to that, you know, 14-15% CAGR that you have already mentioned, but anything specifically for this year?
Yeah, so I think, like I've said earlier on in the call, we do recognize and we want to be fully transparent and acknowledge that the volume growth has not been where it should be relative to the peers. We are used to industry-leading growth. There have been certain corrective actions taken on pricing as well as certain investments in HTP. So, you know, I want to stay away from sort of guidances at this point. I think the actions should speak louder than words. And we are confident that growth will be there and it will be in line with the industry. Certain corrective actions have been taken and we are hungry and we are confident. And we are putting up capacities aggressively with that belief.
Understood. Understood. And so lastly, on your EBITDA per kg or the margins like you guide, so with the price corrective actions that you have mentioned, do you see that these margins could suppress for next, say, couple of quarters or one quarter or so, because your raising prices have also come down sharply this quarter?
Yeah, so I think rather than talking quarter on, see, quarter on quarter could always go up and down basis raw material prices, but I will stick to long-term guidance of 12-14%. I am confident, which includes the investments in bathware and the kind of corrective action we have taken in pricing. Hopefully, the operating leverage from the growth and the cost absorption should at least partially offset the pricing action. It will take a couple of quarters. It will not happen overnight. But I will stick to long-term guidance of 12-14.
Sure. And lastly, on your bathware business, can you give any number in terms of what kind of dealers are we looking to end this fiscal at, and what are the plans for the next 2-3 years? What number do you want to look at?
So, you know, this has been just the first quarter of launch, and our focus right now is on distributors. I think number of distributors, again, is not as important. The same philosophy that we use for pipe, it's the markets that we are able to do and the quality distributors. So you'll have to give me a couple of quarters, at least one quarter before we quantify target number of dealers. But our target for December quarter for bathware is 8 crores of sales.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Rajesh, your line is in the top.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Sir, first question pertains to your capacity breakup, which you shared this quarter. There has been major raises in the capacities. Any specific reason? Your ethyl fittings capacity number has been scaled down, and you know, similarly, there is a sharp increase in the Haridwar capacity. Could you explain what is changes? Even Tamil Nadu capacity has been down by 20%.
So, Ravi, the overall capacity right now is around 3.28. So, Chennai has gone down because of we have not replaced the NPA machine over there, because we have in the region we have Sangareddy. So for that reason, the NP has gone down. We have not replaced that. That's for Chennai. So Haridwar has added some capacity. So in net, there is only 5 to 6,000 KT which has been added in the quarter. Yeah. So that's how the split is. But yes, you are right. In some of the plants, the capacity has increased, and some of the plants' capacity has gone down. Basis requirement of the organization.
Okay. And second question pertains to CPVC. You mentioned 30 to 35% of your revenue is from CPVC.
Correct.
We take the next question from the line of Jenny Skaria from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the CAPEX guidance. Last quarter, we are guided for 100 crore CAPEX for FY24. In first half, I see we have already spent 85 crore. So is there any revision in CAPEX guidance?
So in the first half, CAPEX, there are two abnormal items which are not the regular ones, which needs to be excluded while reviewing the overall CAPEX for the plants. That is, one is the Ruby number, which needs to be excluded, and the other is the Bihar, which needs to be separately tracked. So 7 to 8 crores is Bihar right now, which will scale up in coming quarters. So that's how you have to exclude these two things for normalized spend on normal plant operations.
If you can please quantify these two exceptional spends and how should we look at the full year CAPEX number?
Yeah, right now we are at 50, 50 for normal, which we are guided for 80 to 100.
Okay, and Bihar plant total CAPEX would be over the next 2 years, 24 and 25?
So it will be around 150 crores and phase 2 is also lined up. Which will come subsequent to phase one. We are just evaluating how to go forward with it. But right now, 150 crores is something which we are going ahead with.
Understood. Sir, if you can do the utilization on a total level and Telangana facility.
So utilization at current level is around 50%. And Telangana would be around 40% of capacity utilization.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First, Nihar, basically, I just wanted to have your thoughts on the retention policy from the top management. We had a slew of episodes at the top recently. Any learnings from that and any retention policy? That's the first question. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think there is no specific retention policy as such, which is over and above the regular policies. As we mentioned in the earlier remarks, Anand, who has been Deputy CFO with us for some time, now is upgraded to the CFO position, and the new CHRO also has joined. And we believe now that with these changes in the leadership, we are better geared for the future, for the kind of vision that we have to take the organization, not only in terms of market and growth, but also in terms of organizational identity. So that's where we are.
So will we be looking for some ESOP policy, anything on the retention side, or will continue status quo?
So we already had an ESOP policy in place a few years ago. As of now, that's the status quo.
Okay. My second question was more on the operational side. If you look at the realization per kg, what we see for Prince Pipes, it has the least reduction on a year-on-year basis at 4%, versus the larger peers wherein the reduction is pretty sharp, which is at 8% and 10%. We just wanted to understand, we have done pretty well on the price decline as compared to the peers. Can you give some flavor on the product mix? Was it less government sales, less HDPE, or there was a contribution from bathware? How should we understand it?
I think bathware ka to contribution, it's too early to put that in here. But you're right. I think this is not majorly a function only of price. It's also a function of product mix. For us, Q2 is not very heavy in agri. Also, we, like I said, we have been laggards in the HDP space, which is a low realization product, which will eventually drag down the margins at the organizational level. Today, it's not a very relevant capacity. In terms of volumes, it's maybe only 3-4%. So this will scale up from March quarter. And also there has been some pricing action that we have taken in the core segments of PVC, CPVC, which should hopefully help us realign our volume growth.
Possible to give some color on the mix? Was CPVC higher or was fitting substantially higher on a year-on-year basis? Just trying to understand the operating metrics.
So fittings normalized from quarter two onwards. In quarter one, we did have some challenges for the fittings dispatches, which impacted our product mix. So in quarter two, our pipe fitting ratio normalized, and overall building material also had a better contribution relative to irrigation.
Sure. And just
stick to my long-term margin guidance of 12-14% on a long-term is attainable on a long-term basis.
Sure. And just last question, I think the other Cheddar family also uses the brand Prince. I understand they are coming up with sizable capacities and which is due for commissioning. So is the brand logo, are the rights with the company, or how should we look at it in the marketplace? Because there could be some scope of confusion between the two logos. So what's the roadmap to actually address this? That's all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the logo is completely different, and it has been like that for many years, and that completely is with the company, with Prince Pipes, the differentiated logo and name. And I think now the gap is too big, and that activity is very volatile. In certain quarters it's there, in certain quarters it's not there. So I think the gap has become too big, and now the market appreciates the range, the quality, the newer products. So today Prince Pipes has a very strong brand identity, which was, it's a very different scenario than what it was 5 years ago.
Sure. This is helpful. Thank you so much. Wish you all the very best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Since all you spoke about, you know, you have taken some sort of price correction. Can you give some sense, is it all across market? Is it specific to some market? What sort of correction you have taken?
So some of the corrections we have taken, some we are, you know, about to take. This is in certain markets, not pan India. Wherever we feel that we need to be more competitive, in certain markets, in certain categories, this pricing action has been taken.
Understood. At company level, the impact would be 1-2%?
So I will stick to my long-term guidance of 12-14% of operating margin on an annual basis is achievable. Of course, for the current year, it will be X of Q1 because of the challenges in the first quarter. But on a, even for the next couple of years, I think 12-14% annual EBITDA margin are sustainable, including the pricing action, because with that, there will also be volume growth and resultant operating leverage benefits, which could partially offset this at the EBITDA level.
You said that your domestic sourcing has increased. My understanding was earlier you were taking 40% from domestic. So whether that mix is going to change on permanent basis?
Yeah, so this happens annually. The long-term contract, the annual contract that we have to do with Reliance and Chemplast. So at the beginning of this year, we had increased our domestic contracts on an annual basis. So that will be permanent. It was maybe not reflected in Q1 because we were not normalized as an organization, but that's reflected from Q2 because we have increased our volume offtake as we, you know, grow, and as the overall environment becomes more uncertain, I think it's always prudent for us to increase local and domestic offtake. So we will continue to import and will continue to be a sizable share. But given the way we are growing, I think we decided at the beginning of the financial year itself that we would be increasing our domestic volumes, and even the local players were keen to work with us, seeing that we are the way we are growing across geographies.
So is it the proper understanding now your raw material sourcing would be 50% domestic and 50% imported?
For pipes, for PVC pipes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. East capex of 150 crore, how will that be split?
So it will be, you can take 60 to 70 crores in this year, and balance will be in FY25.
Okay, got it. So this year total capex will be 150 to 160 crore.
Including BR, yes.
Including East. 150, 160 crore including East this year capex, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question was on the Grasim plant that is coming up. Will they be supplying only to you and Ashirwad, or will they be supplying to other players as well? The CPVC rail compound, sorry.
So historically, if you see, Ashirwad has, I mean, Lubrizol has always had two licenses. And as long as we are growing and we are able to fulfill our volume offtakes, which we are, I don't see the need. And historically, if you see, they have always maintained two licenses because opening up the market may not, you know, it may end up diluting the Flowguard brand. So we believe that it will still be a two-licensee approach.
Okay, so won't that like really put you on an advantage compared to the other players?
Absolutely, and this was one of our incentives to sign with Lubrizol when they had approached us a few years ago. There have been some delays, unfortunately, but we still believe that once the plant is operational, we will be on a strong footing because local capacity, local cost structure with the Flowguard brand will put us in a dominant position, especially for CP.
All right. And that the plant is expected to commence from 2025, right, if I'm not wrong?
Correct.
All right. And sir, any reason why your employee benefit expenses have increased during the quarter?
So it's a normal increment which has happened in the increment cycle. That is one. And the provisioning of director's commission is also there, which was not there last year because of the subdued performance. So that's the two reasons you'll find the difference.
Okay. So do we expect this kind of run employee expenses going forward as well, or any reduction?
It's a normal increment cycle which has happened and affected in the cost of the employees. Yeah.
All right. Got it, sir. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Akash Shah from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for the follow-up opportunity. I just had one question. So after taking the pricing action, if you can share how much will our products be at a premium or discount to industry leaders?
It will be at a parity to the industry leader.
Sure. It would be for both PVC and CPVC, right?
So in CPVC, there would be a slight discount to the industry leader in CPVC. And in PVC, it would be at a parity.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Mr. Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. On this Lubrizol new plant coming up, you mentioned that you and Ashirwad would be selling almost all of the, you know, CPVC from that factory. So if I look at your current volumes, would be close to, you know, just ballpark 1,60,000 volumes in FY23, assuming 10-12%. of that would be coming in from CPVC. So it's around 15,000-16,000 tons of volumes. And this plant would be how much? 1 lakh ton something?
First phase is 48,000.
48,000. So are you saying that you'll have, even if you get 30-40% of that incremental volumes, you see your CPVC portfolio significantly increasing over next 3 years?
Yeah, it has to. It has to grow aggressively. And it will.
Okay. And do you see any risk to, with the CPVC, your Lubrizol capacity, Make Money capacity, and RCW all venturing into CPVC manufacturing domestically, and these two players applying to even many other smaller players, the CPVC, the high margin which the CPVC market is enjoying, that may come under pressure?
No, I think it's great news that there is local capacity coming in that will lead to growth of CPVC, because we are today 95% dependent on import as a CPVC industry, and that is not sustainable. If the CPVC industry has to grow the way PVC did over the past three, four decades, CPVC needs to have local capacity. Only then will CPVC become affordable, and only then CPVC will grow. So you know, unless there is growth, there is no point of having very high margin. So CPVC is a very different industry. It's much more brand conscious at the front end, where top four of us are controlling 70-80% of the market. So I don't see that changing substantially. While having local capacity will really open up the acceptability of CPVC and growth of CPVC. So I see this as a major positive.
Correct. So, but you don't see that the margins, which is 2x currently of normal PVC margins, with more supply coming in of the CPVC market growing at a faster pace, you don't see a risk to the margin profile coming off significantly.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is it will be more than offset by the growth. The growth will more than offset that, which is why we should see this as a net positive.
Correct. At industry level, this will be overall strong volume with slightly lower margin, but overall the margin should narrow compared to where they are currently. Is this understanding correct?
Over the long term, a lot of this.
Over the long term, obviously, next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, sir. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.